You are listening to episode number 141 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
Is it exciting, Ben? Is it? Huh?
Oh, yeah! Rest in peace, Macho Man. Okay. As always, I am forever and always will be your host, Iggy, a.k.a. Ben, the founder and host of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Joining me, the Master of Grump, the Master of Rage, Arigato Taser-san.
Konbanwa, mina-san. Boku wa Taser desu. Genki desu ka?
What the fuck just happened?
I'm pretty sure that might be legit. I don't fucking know.
Did he just have a stroke or something?
Probably.
Oh, that's good evening, everybody. My name is Taser.
Watch way too much anime, my friend.
No, actually, I took Japanese.
Seriously?
Yes.
Well, you are way more culturally sensitive than I thought you were. Holy crap.
I wanted to be able to understand Japanese anime without subtitles, so.
Nice.
Fair enough.
And also, joining me, welcome Brian-san.
Domo arigato.
Mr. Roboto.
And last but not least, returning once again, arigato, Johnny V-san.
Oh, baby, let's do this.
All right, B-Rai. We just got through talking about a Marvel movie, but we got another Marvel movie that's coming out in this November. Thor: The Dark World.
There's
we got a new trailer for YouTube Peep Week.
Out, everybody! Whee!
My Mjolnir, is ready.
All right, so this is the second trailer we've gotten.
Yes, the second complete trailer, and boy, did it feature more Loki than last time.
Because apparently I didn't know this. Tom Hiddleston is the shit.
You didn't notice that?
Didn't notice that until Comic-Con.
Any drop, like, you won't believe. You just spent 5 minutes on Tumblr, I swear to God.
All right.
It's crazy.
So, let's get right into it. What do we think of Thor: The Dark World?
So excited! Sorry.
Genevieve, you weren't in here last week. I'll let you have first word. Go.
JB.
Oh, me. Sir. Derp, derp. Sorry, guys. I thought he said somebody else.
You're the only one here last week.
Let's see. Probably the most excited I've been since Avengers. Let's say that. Like, the most excited I've been since Avengers. There's been movies I've been interested in before it, but, I mean, this, it just looks like they're going to knock this one out of the park. I love that it looks like it's going to take place in Asgard more. You know, it's still hard to tell. It's just a trailer. Can't get overly excited about that aspect of it. But it looks like it's going to be rooted more in the Asgardian, you know, crazy lore. There's going to be more ogres and orcs and elves. I love the end of that. The trailer. It's like the perfect fusion of fantasy and comedy where the ogre walks up and Thor just fucking knocks him out of the way. I fucking loved that. It's going to be great. But you know what it reminds me of? It kind of reminds me of the Hellboy movies. In that, you know, the first Hellboy movie, you know, it's rooted, like, real deep. Like, kind of like, this is what would happen if a secret organization really existed in the world. And, you know, it was good, don't get me wrong, fucking great. But, you know, Hellboy 2, it kind of stretched its muscles a lot more and was able to, like, get away with more of the fantastical elements. Mm-hmm. And for that, it was, in a lot of ways, better than the original. And I kind of get that same feeling here. Like, I love the first Thor. Thor is, like, probably my favorite Marvel hero.
Same. I love the first Thor film.
And this, my favorite. This to me looks better than the first one, and that's hard to beat considering how much I liked the first one. So color me excited. The only aspect of it that I'm kind of questioning is Natalie Portman. What's going to happen with her? You know, it's because the whole contract thing, is she going to be out after this? What does that mean for the series? But, I mean, that's, you know, the business bullshit side. But the trailer itself, freaking ecstatic. My body is ready. I cannot wait for this movie to come out.
All right. Brian, what did you think?
I am so excited. Like, seriously, I have such a nerd boner right now. It's not even funny. Okay.
His Mjolnir is rock hard.
I have to agree with Johnny. Of the Phase 1 of films, Thor was a personal favorite because I just like the fantastical elements of it. I mean, I've always been a huge fan of mythology and stuff, and plus he's probably my dad's favorite hero. So, you know, that's a little bit of a legacy thing, but just the first...
You're Norwegian?
No, but my dad was collecting comics when he was a kid.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It could have been funnier if you were Norwegian.
I'm white, so, you know, I could be.
Of course!
All us white people are the same. No. But that being said, the first Thor movie, as awesome as it was to see, like, Asgard and see Thor and Loki and Odin and all that, you know, there wasn't much... Of an action-y plot to it. It's very much more subdued, like Thor has to build his way back up to Asgard.
It's an origin movie, yeah.
Well, yes, exactly. But that's why I'm so excited, because this one is going to be all-out, like, war and shit, and fighting, and it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be fucking amazing!
It's going to have, obviously, those royal family Games of Thrones plot, you know, angles or whatever with the family and the royal family and all this and that, but it's going to have an actual, like, war and stuff. You know how awesome that's going to be? Asgardian war. These guys live and die, literally, for war.
Be right. Awesome. You will be my spirit animal.
I hope we get a Valkyrie.
You're my spirit animal.
I hope we get a Valkyrie cameo. That would be cool.
You scare me with that shit.
You will totally
and, be my spirit animal. I gotta say, you know, the whole Loki angle, I'm liking that too, because I'm interested to see if he's gonna... I think, honestly, all the fangirls would die, but there's really... I don't think there's been any talk of plans for Loki beyond this film, so if he ends up dying, you know, that'd be an interesting turn, I suppose. I'm more interested to see if they're going to kill Jane Foster, though, too.
It looks like it. They're doing something to her.
Yeah, Christopher Eccleston, man, he's off doing some crazy thing.
You mean Malachi the Dark Elf?
I mean...
Getting fucking Loki back!
I mean, 9. So, I think he's 9.
Is he? Who's Malekith? Because I know Malekith is in this movie.
No, yeah, he is. I'm talking about doctors. He's the 9th doctor.
What are we talking about? What?
Doctor Who?
What? Who? The fuck is that?
You don't know what Doctor Who is?
No, what the fuck is Doctor
Who? Oh my god.
What the fuck are you guys talking about?
Dude, I've never seen an episode, so I'm kind of with you in the aspect I have no clue what takes place on Doctor Who. But go to the Doctor Who thread on the boards. And,
nah,
man.
Fuck that.
I don't. No, I'm just saying.
Can we talk about Thor, which is awesome and American?
Yes. Okay.
That's not British.
Norwegian culture and stuff, and so it's not technically American. But
whatever. Fuck it. Continue.
And he's played by an Australian, no less. But moving on.
The Australians are the fucking Americans of other continents.
What?
He was also in the first 28 Days Later. So if you saw that.
Okay. Thank you for saying something American.
Well, I had a reference of what else he was in, but I don't want to, like, shame.
Oh, no, he was in Heroes.
He was? Who was he?
He was the bad guy in Gone in 60 Seconds.
Didn't see that.
He was that, too.
Who was he in Heroes?
Destro. He was Destro in the first G.I. Joe.
Holy shit, let's just find a picture.
He was Destro?
He was the...
Yeah, he was...
That guy! Okay.
Yes.
That guy!
Yes,
that guy. He was also Claude. He was Claude.
You know how ashamed I am when they reach into like a G.I. Joe bag? And
wait,
pull
Claw,
out that...
you mean from Inspector Gadget? Did you say Claw? I thought you said
Claude.
Oh, I just said Claw. So I know there was a fucking Inspector Gadget movie with Matthew Broderick.
If I'd have known I was going to derail this whole conversation, I would have just kept my mouth shut. But
just keep your mouth shut then.
All right. Moving
also,
on.
I'm looking forward to seeing Kat Dennings again, even just as Darcy, for just like 5 minutes. Give me Darcy for 5 minutes, I'll be happy. But, yes. So, super excited about everything. Yes.
Okay, one, if that was supposed to be Curse and not just the Man of Saturn, I'm going to be pissed, because Curse don't go down that easy. But it's cool to see that just visualized for real, just for a second. And I hope that's not just like I hope like Dorgo's, like the actual thing will be like anything else, and it reforms and kicks Dor's ass. Like I kind of hope that happens. I do agree with JV, and like this is what a sequel should do, and that it feels bigger. I'm really interested in seeing how, like, because in when I read about Malekith the Dark Elf, he was using the Casket of Ancient Winters to submerge the entire Earth in ice and winter age. Obviously, they did that in the last movie, so I don't know what the hell they're going to do this time. We got a little somewhat of the story, and like reality and shit's going to change. So who knows? I do like the Loki. Tom Hiddleston plays a charismatic son of a bitch.
He plays a great villain. He really does.
Well, he doesn't play. He plays a guy who can do both. Like, he can play both angles, which I like. Which is what Loki should be sometimes. You don't know if Loki's good for you or Loki's bad for you. Which, you know, that's what he's supposed to be.
I think after the Avengers, he's just kind of bad for you.
Yeah, but something I'm curious is like what happened for Thor to go to Loki, considering what happened. You know,
well, that's they what pretty I'm much curious. Tell you in the trailer.
What, that the...
Yeah, a big ship crashes through and he goes, no, but I need help.
The specific occasions. I'm talking about, like, why Loki? That's what I'm wondering.
Because like, this guy is a magical base villain, and he is posing a threat.
Here's what is he... No, Michael, what is it? What is the threat? What are they trying to do? That's not... Like, why do you need to go? You have the fucking All-Father, you have everybody else.
So you just want to plot the movie, basically.
I know, which is what I'm curious, and, you know, and I'm sure it's going to be fun, but I want to know, which is what a trailer
is. He doesn't have the All-Power.
Who, Odin?
There you go. He doesn't have the all power. He's okay. Not Odin.
Okay.
Odin would have just bitch smacked whatever.
Yeah, you know? True.
This well, Thor, this Thor is okay. I'll swing my hammer. It shit isn't fixed. Oh fuck! I don't know what to do.
But I agree that it does look bigger in scale, and I agreed with Johnny V about the whole Hellboy or just sequels in general. It feels bigger. You know, it feels more like I'm going to use the Two Towers analogy. You like Two Towers? You're on one path. You're on one single thing with a couple exciting battles, but when Two Towers happens, it's like holy fucking shit, let's do this. So yeah, I'm excited. But now, the one who I want to hear from the most, the man who worships of the book at the altar of Simonson. What did you think of this?
I'm not enthusiastic. It didn't move me. I just kind of saw stuff happen without any real context, you know? And aside from knowing a little bit beforehand from, you know, the threads, this didn't tell me anything, you know? Hell, I didn't even know fucking Eccleston was in it until I actually read it, you know? The bit with the troll walking up and Thor hitting it, which was a nice, funny ha-ha bit. And, you know, then I stop and think, well, yeah, trolls do kind of break apart when they get killed because that's part of the lore. Then I stopped and thought, hold on, that better fucking not have been cursed. Or if it is, that's cursed the first time, not the second. Nothing in here really sold me. I don't care about Thor's romantic life. That's not why I would read the book. That's not why I'm here to see the movie. Fuck Natalie Portman's character, you know? Stellar Skarsgård or whatever the fuck that guy's name is. Okay. As a historian or whatever the fuck. Okay, yeah, you can keep him. And give me what's her name from Two Broke Chicks, because Kat, you know, Dennings. Yes, Kat Dennings just needs some love. You know, she can get love, but yeah, fuck Natalie Portman. And I'm indifferent towards Loki being around, you know? Loki's going to be around because Loki is always around. You know, they're not good. Loki's one of the few Marvel villains that is not going to get killed because then you wouldn't have Loki. All right? You know, the same reason why
they could just bring back his kid Loki. They could go that route.
I don't think they would do that just yet. Not just yet. But, there's nothing in what we saw that maybe go, ooh! I've got to see this because, I mean, you saw a big fucking craft crash through shit. Big deal. There's no threat there. That could have been somebody from another planet coming to warn Thor, and I lost control, and oh shit, I crashed. There's nothing. Nothing says anything there. It's just stuff. So...
It's awesome stuff.
No, it's not even that. It's just stuff. It's all unconnected stuff. It's a teaser.
That's most trailers. Yeah, well, you know, it's all connected in the trailer. Because then,
no. Well, look, if it was a trailer, we'd have gotten, we'd have gotten more of what the story is going to be than what we got here, I think. And what we got here didn't move me. Now, I do want to see the movies. That doesn't say anything. That's like half the sci-fi movies out there. Oh no, the universe is threatened. Why? Because it's a stupid little movie. Like, what the fuck, you know? I'm not sparked here. You know, nothing.
You know what? Get your grumpiness out of here. We don't need
it. It's not grumpiness. It's just nothing does anything that goes, see it! Must see awesome. It! You know, I'm sorry.
Oh, it looks
everything
so
about this movie says see it. See it.
Okay,
Chris Hemsworth's shirtless makes me want to see it.
Gay. Ooh,
Loki is going to be awesome in it.
Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah.
I don't care about, look, unless Thor's there to take and put his ass down in 3 seconds again, I don't care about Loki. I want to see Thor smash shit, and we didn't even get a whole lot of that, you know?
Save the good shit for the theater. How many times does a trailer ruin all the big shots?
They did for the Wolverine movie. Most of the shit that we saw in the trailer for that was the action.
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm kind of glad that they didn't do that, because when you see
it, which is fine, but all I'm saying is what I saw didn't, you know, it didn't really, you know,
it didn't
grab me by the short hairs.
You're going to love it.
I'm not saying I'm not. I'm just saying what we saw didn't grab me by the short hairs and really stoke the fire. I need to see something else, that's all.
Kat Dennings and Natalie Portman.
They're going to kill Thor and bring in Thunderstrike.
They didn't show enough Kat Dennings in this, damn it.
No, they didn't, which, you know. I also like that they mentioned that, you know, Natalie Portman slapped the shit out of him for New York. I like that touch.
By the way, did anyone else catch, like the bitch back off look Sif shot?
Oh, she's fucking jealous.
Like, shit, like, there has to be a
like. What if, like, because if I was Sif, I'm like, why the fuck would you choose this? You have me.
Yeah, I know.
I'm a
right?
Fucking goddess of war, motherfucker.
What does it say when your destined partner falls for a human? Think about that for a second.
Yeah, no, I'd be jealous. I'm not gonna lie. Like, what the
you
fuck,
know,
dude?
Also, something they showed Volstagg. They didn't show Fandral or Hogan.
I'm sure they'll be in it.
Well, Fandral's a different actor this time around. This time he's Zach Levi. And
really?
Yeah, they had to replace him because the other guy, Joshua Dallas, is busy with Once Upon a Time over on ABC. That's Prince Charming.
Hold on, they replaced him with Chuck?
Yes.
Oh, fuck no. Oh, hell no. Oh, what the fuck, man?
Okay. Let's wrap it up. So we're all generally positive, except for Taser, on Thor Dark World
and
trailer 2.
They
replaced him with Chuck.
Does. So, you know, this really wasn't much.
B-Rod, what's next on the news docket?
Okay, hey kids, you like Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah!
Fuck you.
Do you like Vin Diesel?
Yeah!
Well, guess what, kids? You're gonna be getting both, because Vin Diesel is Groot! Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
I am
Groot! I am Groot!
I am Groot, motherfucker.
I don't have much to say on this. It's going to be the easiest fucking job he's ever had.
Hey. Hey. Give me that money.
Superman.
Anything else to say about this? Anybody?
Yeah, Iron Giant. Watch that
it worked
movie.
For Iron Giant, so I guess it could work again.
Sure, why not? I didn't even know it was him until people told me on the internet years later.
Diesel was Iron Giant, so.
I love him as Riddick. That's all he is to me.
Well, you know, I'm just talking voice acting roles, mainly.
All right, anything else? Nope.
I think that about sums it up, believe it or not.
What's on the next docket?
Okay, let's see. Coming up next on the news docket is... Oh, Jesus Christ. Where'd all the news... Fuck. You know, Taser, if you didn't have to flood the message box with porn, you wouldn't have to search through all this crap.
What are you talking about? I have no idea.
What are the articles you were talking about earlier? You brought the articles up. You take over news from here. I'm done.
All right. Well, first off, we haven't talked about this on the show yet, but it is officially confirmed that Fox Studios, they are working on a X-Force movie that's going to spin off from the X-Men franchise, and it's going to be different. They already have a director-writer attached to the series. So I'm going to ask a question. Who is your 5 X-Force team? Who would you want to see on the big screen? Brian, go.
Cable, Deadpool, Domino, Boom Boom, and Force.
No?
Well, I already counted Domino and Cable and Boom Boom.
All right, fair enough. Johnny V, if you were casting an X-Men X-Force movie, who would you want to see on X-Force?
On X-Force?
Yeah, who would you want on the X-Force movie?
Well, you got to have Forge. Forge, Cable, Deadpool maybe. He's kind of, you know, he hadn't been like traditionally a part of X-Force, but I think you could put Deadpool in there.
I need him, okay?
He needs Deadpool. I need the Deadpool.
Don't you mock me, Johnny V.
Dude, I loved it. Don't get me wrong. I love Deadpool. I just don't want to see them fuck up Deadpool again. So I'm
trying
to look out for us.
My Deadpool for Dr. Nemesis.
All right, so you got Cable, Deadpool, Forge. You got two more slots.
I would like to see Domino.
Okay.
And I think you go with the newer flavor, you go with new flavor, put Dr. Nemesis in there.
That'd be fun.
I think he'd be great.
Like keep him like 19, like from the night.
You get a good mixture of kind of old school, new school, I think, you know.
Sarcastic.
I mean, we're gonna
find an actor who's a sarcastic
later, and I think you can draw from a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you're asking me what I would do, that's what I would do. Would be my lineup for sure, but I'm excited for it. I love X-Force. I like the whole idea of X-Force, kind of like the outside renegade mutants that aren't necessarily, like, part of the quote-unquote mutant agenda, but they are mutants.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like the A-Team almost. Like the A-Team.
If you need a job and you can find them, they are the X-Force.
All the fucking X-Force. I mean, that'd be great. We haven't seen anything like that in the comic book movie world. So
like
I
a hit?
So,
would you make them
that,
an assassination squad, or what would you make them?
No, I think you just kind of make them like kind of like renegades. You know, they're not part of the system. You know,
they don't work
for
the Brotherhood. They don't work for the Xavier.
Right. I wouldn't go so far as to say they're assassins, but.
Which is why Wolverine in this movie would make no sense.
Yeah.
They're independent.
There you
just,
go.
You don't need a Wolverine in every Fox comic book movie, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it'd be fine without him in it.
Don't
or if,
know
he
that
cameo, if he did a cameo, like in First Class, I'd be fine with that too.
Taser.
Now, I just want to see him try and explain Cable to the typical movie-going audience.
They don't have to. Fuck it. Just drop him in
Scott
there.
Scott Summers and Jean Grey's child, but they're both dead from an alternate universe, and he's also from the future.
They don't have to explain it.
Without it.
Dude, dropping the 90s on an uneducated audience as far as comic book history goes is like, that's terrible. All
right. They did it with Thanos. At the end of Avengers, people were just like, "Oh, who's that fucking guy? We don't know who he is," but they loved it.
Yeah. All right, Kaiser, who would your X-Force squad be?
Does it have to be 5, or can I make it 6?
Go ahead, make it 6. If you can make 6.
Okay. Cable, Domino,
Mister, I want to be
Psylocke, Cannonball, Forge, and I guess I might put
Shatterstar.
I guess I'd probably put Dr. Nemesis there.
Okay.
You know, and I really wanted to go classic and say, you know, Cannonball and Richter and Boom Boom and, you know, fucking...
Oh, the former New Mutants that became Cable's X-Force.
Yeah, I wanted to do that, but that's... I think that's a little too retro and a little too simple, you know? These guys, the more modern versions have been... And I know this is a word that you won't really hear me say too often, but they're a bit more nuanced.
you know?
Mm-hmm. I didn't even know you knew that word.
Well, it's A, because I generally don't, you know, work that way. I tend to be straightforward. But these guys got a little more depth to them, and I like how everything plays out. You know, Psylocke, Dom, Nemesis, and Forge, and Cable, you know, keeping it all together and keeping everybody on point. I like how that works in my head, you know. But I tossed in Cannonball there because you kind of have to have somebody from the original run, as far as I'm concerned.
You know, Cable.
You might make him. Well, nah. Cable doesn't count. I would. Cannonball would be like the rookie, you know. You could play that, you know. Sam's the new guy that. Hell, they could even do like they did with the X-Factor. You know, he's the one that they rescued when his powers sparked or whatever the fuck. And I don't know. But I like that lineup in my head for an X-Force movie.
Here's mine. Cable, because you got to have fucking the OG Cable.
Hell yeah.
Domino. Warpath.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay. All right.
Shatterstar, because I fucking love Shatterstar.
Oh, whoa.
I'm okay. Going Rob Liefeld 90s, baby.
What's wrong with Shatterstar?
I love Shatterstar. Let's see. Wolf's Bane, because I like having two chicks on the team. That would be my X-Force.
So why don't you just say the original team, then, if you're going to go classic?
Nah, because I didn't want Cannonball and shit like that.
Well, that was Cannonball.
You
going to
put Sunspot there?
Nah, I don't like Sunspot that much.
What about Danny?
Danny Moonstar? I would want him there, but I like Wolfsbane more than Danny Moonstar.
Okay. All right.
So, but to me, Cable and Domino, the movie would be centered around Cable and Domino, and you just have the other guys as recruits.
As recruits?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because, okay. I've already said this, but like Cable's like my favorite mutant. Like he's like the mutant Nick Fury. He doesn't take shit from anybody, gets things done, has to do the dirty shit nobody else wants to do. You know, I just love the idea of Cable, and I hope he doesn't actually use his telekinesis like sometimes like they might do in the movie, but he just has the biggest guns ever, like just raw.
Do you give him the Do you give him the techno organic virus?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
The cured guy. Okay.
Yeah, no. He has from the start. I would have him like full on techno organic virus. I wouldn't explain what the fuck it is, and just like have it like explained over the course throughout the movie. You know that's causing him pain, and then have flashbacks or something like that. Also, my villain would be Strife, because Strife. I love
clone.
That.
Clone.
Well, it's either that. Okay, it's either Strife, or it's Apocalypse.
Or Sentinels.
Because the whole, I mean, because Cable's whole shtick, unless they change it, which they might, is that he's a time traveler, and he's trying to prevent, you know, either A, he's a freedom fighter in his time, or he's a time traveler trying to prevent his timeline from happening so shit doesn't go wrong that way. So either A, it's because the Sentinels fucked everything up, B, Apocalypse fucked everything up, or Strife is just causing general mishap in the past. So to me, it was either one of those two, and I'd like to see Strife, because I think if you use Apocalypse, it's hinting at something bigger, and I don't know if they're ready for that yet, for something like Apocalypse. Or Mr. Sinister.
Well, you're hitting at Apocalypse anyway with Strife, but I guess that's
I mean, like, it's better to hint at Strife than vaguely hint at Apocalypse and show up Apocalypse outright.
Okay, I can see that.
You know, or like Strife teaming up. Mr. Sinister created Strife from Cable's DNA because Summer's DNA. Why the fuck not?
Right.
Holy fucking shit, guys! I gotta go write a pitch to Fox. I'll be back. No, but yeah. So what do y'all think? Any more thoughts about X-Force? What would you like to see the movie go do?
Personally, as a backup, I would like to see Christopher Yost's X-Force with Wolverine leading the team with like X-23 and you know,
as a mutant, and stuff. As a prevention squad.
Yeah, I would like to see that Black Ops X-Men pretty much.
How would you explain fucking Archangel? Like they couldn't use Archangel because like, unless
who said I'd include Archangel?
That's true. If you said Revenger's Uncanny X,
it's not like Angel didn't keep his wings at the end of X-3.
You could just say that something happened. It was a secondary
mutation. You want to go ahead and
Cape Land
Stripe.
Who was it? Was it Sinister who fucked with him, or was it Apocalypse that took away his wings? And
no,
gave...
that was...
It was Apocalypse, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he became the Horseman of Death, and that's how he became Archangel.
Well, we're talking... Remember, we're talking movie version. So you don't...
Yeah, no, but I'm like saying they could hint, that could be another hint towards Apocalypse that...
No, you're right. No,
that Sinister
is
abducting mutants
and
experimenting.
I'm saying you don't have to, but you could if you want.
Yeah.
Well, how about this then? How violent?
They're not going to do rated R. I know that. They just won't. If they didn't do it with the Wolverine, which kind of calls for it, I would say PG-13, but push it as fucking far as you can. You know?
Well, hey, we got Wolverine saying "fuck you" in the movies. So,
well, not even. I'm talking about just like with the outright violence. Like it's called X-Force. I don't mean like cartoony where like you slash a guy and it's like Godzilla where the blood sprays out. But like I want to see them covered in blood. I want to see them show. I want to see real consequences. I want to see mature themes.
I want to see bone breaking.
Yeah.
I want to see, you know,
especially
because
I have Thunderbird on my. I have Thunderbird on my team.
Page out of Punisher Dirty Laundry and just go all out, just cracking skulls with a jack bottle.
I have no problem.
That's what I want. I don't know if they'll do that, but it's called X-Force.
Nah,
X-Force as if they're getting into. So, Johnny B., what about you? What kind of vision do you have?
What's that now?
What kind of vision do you have for X-Force?
Well, it's like I said, do the A-Team with... mutants. I mean, the outsider group. We haven't really seen anything like that. I think in the comic book.
Would you have Cable be a time traveler from the future, or would you just have him be a mutant now?
I mean, have him come from the future. I mean, fucking hell, Terminator worked. You know what I'm saying? It's not like it would require like 30 minutes of like. Time travel science explanation, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's,
of course.
Gotta go back in.
But the thing is, they're working in Singer's X-Men universe. That's what I'm worried about.
Back to the future, it's Terminator, you know?
The thing I'm worried, and you're right, but the thing is I'm worried about is that they're playing in Singer's universe, or Singer's X-Men, which is like everything's quote-unquote realistic.
Don't get me wrong, the Singer universe makes me nervous no matter what. It's why I'm not going to see the Wolverine until it's out on DVD.
Yeah.
So, I mean, don't get me wrong, I understand. It's just...
He better be. Yeah. No, not interesting. All right. So.
You know what I'm saying? Just make it outsider and Cable if he's going to be in it. Yes, make him from the future. I mean, just be like, yeah, I'm the son of Cyclops. Fuck. There you go. That's all it takes. I'm the son of Cyclops.
Well, if my parents are dead before they had me.
Oh, my God. Space continuum's gonna explode.
Well, no, you know what?
He's his own grandpa.
If they wanted to do that, they could make him. Like, let's say they introduced Mr. Sinister, and he took the cells of Jean Grey and the cells of Cyclops.
He created two.
Cable and
Stripe.
One guy free.
Which one is the clone?
It's very interesting to me we're talking about this considering what the Cable and X-Force comic is about. Like, it kind of, like, is the same kind of deal we're talking about now. Like, what would the problems be? But,
right.
You know, to foreshadow what I'm going to say about the comic, fucking awesome. Is what it is.
All right. So let's move on.
You know,
go ahead.
You know what you could do? You could do the same thing that they're doing now, too, where he just gets these flashes of shit that has to get handled or else, you know? And it wouldn't just be, well, Cable and the X-Force and we tool around until, you know, hey, this villain bad guy pops up and he's trying to take over New York. Yeah, no. It's not like that. It's... this really evil, bad, really, really bad thing that, you know, causes him to have fits and whatever the fuck. And if we don't head this off now, then 10, 15 years down the line, we end up here. So, you know, it's either that or there's no choice in the matter. You know, if we're going to take and put him in, let's say it's the Singer universe, there's still the X-Men. You know, there's still other superhumans out there. But this is something that nobody else has a clue about. And that's why he's got to handle that. That's why X-Force has got to handle
it. I like that. All right, let's move on to one more final topic, I believe, which is the potential idea of a Marvel movie mashup of the Fox universe, which to me includes apparently, Wolverine, Silver Surfer, I don't fucking know. Deadpool, Wolverine, and Silver Surfer for starters. Which is
to
like,
its what? Credit, it has more potential than the Sony comic book properties of Spider-Man and Ghost Rider.
That's
so.
True.
Yeah, there's that.
Which is, I'm not going to lie, if they did, like, a Fantastic Four X-Men movie, I'd be like, yes.
Because isn't Franklin Richards, hasn't he always straddled the line between mutants and
I don't think he has these X-Gene positive, though. That's the key if you're a mutant.
But I thought he's always been, like, classified as a mutant for whatever reason.
Why? He's not X-Gene positive. That doesn't make any sense.
No, I know, but I remember just recalling from somewhere that he got classified as a mutant.
That'd be true, but that doesn't parallel to the discussion if he's actually in the movie. Considering that this Fantastic Four, because they're rebooting it, right?
Yeah.
And they haven't shot anything. It's going to be that Fantastic Four. So, I mean, like, I don't know. It'd just be cool to see, like, the X and the F, you know, like, that, like, what a crossover that, you know, doesn't really happen a lot. Like, it's happened, but it's something you wouldn't think would happen naturally. You know what I mean?
Well, this would be the first time.
Well, I'm talking about in comics. Like, it's like they've met before and they know of each other and they fought together. But it's like, it's something like most people who like know these movies wouldn't think of meeting the X-Men and the Fantastic Four together. You know, imagine Thing punching out Logan. That'd be pretty funny. Even though they're pretty much the same height, unless they make the Thing taller in the reboot.
Well, see, that's the problem. Thing in the movies was the same height as fucking Jessica Alba.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we've been over this. But I like that idea because, like, you know, like I kind of think, like, what kind of threat would it be? You know, maybe the X-Men need the Fantastic Four to take down Apocalypse. I don't fucking know.
Well, they could do what they did back in the day, the original X-Men versus Fantastic Four.
Which is?
They go to Doom because, what was it, Shadowcat Colossus and I think it was
Doom
Nightcrawler.
On mutants?
No, they had gotten really fucked up fighting the Exterminators during the Mutant Massacre.
Oh, okay.
So they go to Doom and...
What if it's Doom and Apocalypse?
No, huh?
I'm just throwing amalgam of villains out there.
Okay.
That would be possibly the largest clash of egos I've ever seen.
Yeah, and the Fantastic Four, I forgot exactly how they got into the mix, but they got into the mix.
Well, it's Doom, and, of course, they were getting into the mix.
You know, it just ended up being, everything ended up stopping because Sue threatened to put a bubble in his brain, and he just kind of went, oh shit, you know what, she could do that. And I remember that's how everything stopped. But it had come to a head at one point. You know, it wasn't a bad story. It wasn't a bad story. I recommend it if you can find it.
Yeah, the only thing I have a problem with is because they are rebooting Fantastic Four and they aren't going to bring back the original cast. Considering one of them...
Because they need to. Jessica Alba was fucking horrible.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's going to be interesting because, like, if they do this crossover, it's going to be interesting considering one cast is established, the other one is not.
Of the cast they could possibly bring back, I realize they can't bring back Chris Evans for reasons, but Michael Chiklis was totally fine as Ben Grimm. I didn't see a problem with him. And he's a huge fan of the character.
I like the guy.
Why couldn't they bring back Chris Evans?
Because
he's Captain America.
I'm pretty sure he's signed, like, he's signed through there. And I'm pretty sure, like...
Exclusively?
I'm pretty sure. They'd be super...
If it's exclusively signed, then that's something else. But I you know... Let's be real here. It's not like, you know, he's playing this. Of course he can't play that. That's not really true. That's just how us fanboys would see it, you know? I don't have a problem with...
Let's face it. Chris Evans has been pretty liberal with comic book roles throughout his life. He's played at least 5 or 6 of them, to my knowledge, as I can think of them right now.
3, as far as I know.
All right.
Captain America, The Human Torch, he played Casey Jones. He voiced Casey Jones in the TMNT movie. He played Lucas Lee and
Scott
Pilgrim.
Wait, he played Casey Jones?
In the TMNT movie, he played Lucas Lee from Scott Pilgrim, played Jensen from The Losers.
That's right.
5 comic books.
Okay, yeah, good point.
Johnny V, what do you think about a potential X-Men Fantastic Four? Maybe Daredevil? Because Daredevil was owned by Fox, right? Or no, Marvel has the rights back to that. Never mind, fuck Daredevil.
I've been saying that for years. Hey!
Whoa, hey!
So what do you think about a potential Fantastic Four crossover movie?
I'd see it. At least, the idea of it, I'd see it.
I guess it depends on how good the Fantastic Four reboot does. and how good Days of Future Past does. I don't know. I mean, Fantastic Four has never been my... I've been meh towards that property pretty much since the beginning. So I guess I'll wait and see how that reboot does, because I don't think they'd go ahead with a reboot before.
Oh, yeah, after. That movie has to... It'll be like Man of Steel. They do one movie, it does really well, and then they jump right into a crossover with another established movie franchise that has made billions.
Yeah, right.
Wow, it'd be the
same fucking scenario. Yeah, I'll wait and see how Fantastic Four does. But otherwise, I don't see the need for it, because, you know, if you can't include them in an all-encompassing Marvel Universe, I kind of feel like, what's the point?
Well, I mean, it's like, well, that's just because contract.
I understand why they can't do it and the stuff they'd have to jump through to get it done, but it really feels like it's half-assed to me if it's not in the all-encompassing Marvel Universe.
You can say the same thing about Avengers.
No, I can't. Avengers was awesome as is. Who are you kidding?
I'm just saying, like, it wouldn't be, like, having the X-Men and Fantastic Four teaming up would be pretty cool.
I know, and I'm not saying I'd be opposed to seeing it. I'm just saying, you know, I'm neither hot nor cold.
Do you want Spider-Man in there? Do you want Iron Man in there as well?
I would much rather see Spider-Man and Fantastic Four team up, or Spider-Man and X-Men team up, than either one of those two teams teaming up together, but that's just me.
Yeah, whatever. Johnny V, any last second thoughts?
No, I'm good.
All right. Do we really want to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy set picks and piss-taste off some more?
No.
All right, then.
Books to review, Harvey.
We'll move on.
Taser's too upset.
Let's move on to our book of the week, and we've been talking X-Force. But our book of the week this week, read along at home, Cable and X-Force number 12, written by Dennis Hopeless, co-written by Colin Bunn, art by Salvador LaRocca. I want to talk about this book.
It was co-written? No shit.
Yeah, Colin Bunn. I didn't notice that until I looked at the credits, too. But anyway, it doesn't matter. This book, I'll say simply, is fantastic. I was skeptical when it relaunched, when it was launched in November of last year. But regardless, it's been a lot of fun. This issue in particular, the banter between the now official couple of Colossus and Domino was great. We get a plot reason why. Well, not a really reason why, but we get who, throughout the series, Cable has been getting some headaches, severe headaches, of things preventing future, trying to prevent it. And it turns out, here's the plot twist, it is Hope in the future, an older version of herself, in a Strife costume, to prevent something. We don't know what it is yet. So, yeah.
Really? Nobody saw that coming?
Well, they said who it was at the end of last issue. Like, you kind of, it's not obvious, but it's there. So, but
you
in terms
knew
of,
who it was the last issue, though.
Well, yeah, but I mean, in Come terms on. Of like who was delivering the.
There really message. Only was one option as to who that was going to be. I mean, once you noticed she had boobs, it's kind of like, oh well, you know, who do we know that's supposed to keep
for a dead boobs? Ringer.
I know those boobs anywhere. No.
But no, I mean, to me, this issue simplified why this book is great, because not only does it have like a big sort of weird feeling, but the character dynamics are great between. Sadly, we only got two members of the team this time. But, you know, and of course we get Cable using his telekinetic powers, but I just love this book, and I feel that Salvador LaRocca and Dennis Hopeless and Cullen Bunn to this issue are just hitting their strides on this, and I feel like this is the, like, everybody's loving Wolverine the X-Men and all new X-Men and X-Men, and but nobody's talking about X-Force.
It's fucking awesome!
Yes, it is.
Hell yeah.
I give this issue a solid 4 out of 5. It was a nice, fun ride. I like the fact that Cable and Domino are dating, and it's going to be real interesting when Cable sees Kitty Pryde and he's with Domino.
And she's with Iceman.
Oh, yeah, she's to be fair, I think Colossus traded up. I like Kitty Pryde, but...
And Kitty Pryde did fine on her own, okay? Iceman's fucking baller, okay?
Whatever.
Oh, come on. Come on.
Hey, dude. He was macking on the ladies in that new issue of All New X-Men, okay? Yeah. He knows how to get it done, even though he was a kid.
It was Kitty Pryde fucking who pushed the issue, whatever. Anyway, so yeah,
he's dating younger, that's all I can say.
Yeah, he is. Johnny V, what did you think of Cable and the X-Force, Cable and X-Force number 12?
This is probably my... You know what, I'm just going to go ahead and say it's been my favorite issue of the run so far. And the issue's been, like, the run's been great so far. Like, there's never been an issue where, you know, I've been like, eh, I want to stop reading, or this is boring, or whatever. It's, even the issues where the plot moves along, it's been interesting. It's great character dynamics, whether it's Domino, or Dr. Nemesis, or Boom Boom, or Colossus, or Forge. It's like, whoever's involved, I'm always interested in what's going on. In this, the ending... yeah, we kind of saw it coming, but it was cool for Hope to, like, know it. And, like, what the fuck is going to happen now? And that's what I like about this. That's what I love about this book, is anything can happen. You know, again, it's like the whole time travel thing. It just works. You know what I'm saying? You don't Back to the Future, Terminator. You don't think about that part of it too much. That's not what's important. It's important that the characters are fun, the art's great, it's entertaining, and the story moves along at a great clip. Like, there's no, like, page in this book where I was just like, eh, it's kind of stupid. You know, there's funny references. I loved Colossus and Domino playing off one another. And I'm kind of wondering if that's kind of foreshadowing, like, that scene is kind of foreshadowing her death. Like, her death will be needed to stop something in the future. So I thought that was some good foreshadowing, if that's what happens. If not, that's cool too. But I thought that was great foreshadowing on their part, the writer. So what'd you give it, Ben? 4 out of 5?
Yeah,
I'll give it 4.5 out of 5. Like, to me, this is just what comic books should be about. Is, you know, interesting plot, entertaining, great characters, great dialogue, great art. If that's what you're looking for in a book, I can't recommend this enough. So, like I said, 4.5 out of 5 stars.
B-Rai, what did you think of the Cable and the X-Force number 12?
I thought it was excellent. I will admit, as much as I like seeing Cable and Domino work out their couple issues, I did kind of miss the rest of the team in this one. But I did thoroughly enjoy their playing off of one another. I like that both Colossus in this book and Kitty Pryde and All New X-Men and Wolverine X-Men is moving on. I think it's refreshing to have those two not be together for a change. I was never fond of that pairing to begin with. And the Hope Strife turn is interesting if it was a bit obvious, but I am compelled to find out why in the blue hell... Okay, even if she did have to go and do all this crap in the future, why is she taking up the mantle of the one person she knows her father hates the most in this world, aside from maybe Apocalypse?
Kate, Strife is kind of a dick.
Yeah, probably Strife is a total...
good armor.
Whatever.
Probably good armor, I'm just saying.
I guess there's limited clothing options in the future when you're when you're a mutant. You know, you're either...
her
you
cloak
know,
got torn away.
Yeah, there's only so many positions you can fill as a mutant in a despotic future, so...
You can only be a Cable, a Bishop, or a Strife.
Yeah. And I really don't know what's going on with Cable, man. You know, Cable, he's got me bugging out, man.
Hope in the future is sending things.
No,
so...
I know, but I'm talking about, like, him in Avengers Mansion and stuff. I don't know what's going to happen with him. Cause
I'm like, oh.
If they want him back, they're going to have to storm effing Avengers Mansion.
Well, they're already wanted, so why the fuck not? Why the fuck not? Boom Boom is going to go, why the fuck not?
Yeah, Boom Boom. I love me some Boom Boom. Mm-hmm. But, yeah,
everybody
great
loves some Boom Boom.
Great issue. I'll give it a solid 4 out of 5, because it was solid.
T-Man, continue the positive train.
I've been enjoying the book. I can't lie. But, I don't know, I guess I could do without the whole... But Dom, you know, I want to be with you now. Well, it's too bad, Petey. You had your chance, blah, blah, blah. Like, oh, God, relationship bullshit. Are you fucking serious? The fucking professional party girl here actually told him that, well, you had your chance and you blew it off. And he's like, yes, but as we've seen so often, second chances come around. Oh, you know, what? Are you serious? This chick is actually acting scared. Like, you know, like, what the fuck? Oh, come on. But, you know, the rest of it, you know, the whole demon thing and the reveal with, you know, who, you know, Babe in armor is. That wasn't, come on. You saw that coming. I saw that last issue. So, like I said, seeing the Sentinels and the techno-organic demon things, that was kind of funny. I liked watching that shit happen. I like the last issue better. You know, the whole thing between Boom Boom and Dom, that was more fun than what we had here. While I like Petey, Colossus is one of my favorite X-Men ever. And I don't mean Colossus, I mean Peter.
What's his last name?
Yeah, Pyotr Rasputin. He is one of my most favorite characters, X-Men characters, and Marvel characters ever. I like him because, you know, for the most part, above all else, he actually tries to do the right thing. You know, regardless of what cost it may come to him, you know, he plants his feet, and this is the stand he's taking. And fuck you, you know. But to see him just, you know, I'm not going to say he was begging here, but, you know, he's basically telling this woman, hey, look, it could be a good thing. And I realized that, you know, maybe I spoke too soon. And she's like, yeah, well, you don't understand. So I liked the issue. Things moved along. But, you know, that whole relationship drama with her acting fragile, that just annoyed me, you know. And then, of course, you know, Peter, he's like, hey, look, I'm ending all this shit right here. Give me some sugar. And then, you know, there's no more arguing. I can't wait to see what happens with Cable talking to Alex. So that I want to see what happens next issue. That is...
Uncle Sun time.
There was a Rocky IV reference, Taser. How could you not like
that? What was the Rocky IV reference?
You didn't see Rocky IV where he... punches the safe.
Hold up.
And it's made out
of... Oh, yeah, you're right, you're right, you're right. Yeah, it's like... Yeah.
Rocky IV?
Yeah.
I didn't get that then. My bad. I missed that. I saw him punch the safe, but I didn't get it as a Rocky IV reference. But anyway, I like the issue, though. You know, the relationship bullshit aside, I like the issue. I'll give this a 3.8 out of 5 Warriors.
All right. So needless to say, we all tell you to go read a Cable X-Force. Go read it.
This is a solid – this is a great run for this title. I'll agree with that. I didn't care much for the last one, but the last run, this run.
Versus the other X-Force book, which is dealing between the love drama of Psylocke, Lady Phantom X, and Phantom X. That's not fun. Leave Betsy Braddock alone. Okay.
Leave her with her sexy female.
Leave Betsy alone!
All right, so let's go straight up to individual reviews. Now, I know that B-Rai and Taza do not have any... No, Brian has something, don't you?
Yes, I do.
T-Man will be sitting this one out. Meanwhile, because he hates emotional love drama shit, I'm going to review all new X-Men number 15, which is nothing but emotional drama. Jean Grey and the Beast?
Oh.
By the way, I just love the cover of Agonizing Cyclops. No! This issue is different because this is not Stuart Immonen or the other guy who's on this. This is, in fact, former Ultimate Spider-Man artist David LaFuente. I love David LaFuente, and this is the only problem I have with this book. Don't get me wrong, the art is not bad, but my God, it does not fit the tone of this book. I thought it was, while great, way too overly cartoony, which isn't wrong, but in terms of what the book is, it just doesn't fit. There's nothing wrong with the panels. I love how he draws Jean Grey. I just love how he draws teenagers in general. Beast is like a real interesting draw. But the sort of the crux of this issue is sort of like Cyclops and Jean Grey. Jean Grey doesn't want anything to do with Cyclops because, namely, all she sees is that, one, he's going to get married to her, he's going to die because of her, she's going to die because of him, and he's eventually going to murder a lot of people while under influence of the same thing she killed a lot of people with. So she sees Cyclops as this, I don't want no part of that noise. So, needless to say...
Bitch!
So needless to say, while she didn't see, they've kind of, throughout the course of 15 issues, they've kind of sort of gone like separated, getting further apart. And Cyclops and Iceman decide to have a day out of town. They meet some women, and while sort of experimenting with like trying to push her powers, Beast is overtly thinking, and I like the fact that Jean Grey can't help but hear things. It's sort of like, you know, if somebody's screaming, I love you.
No, hold on now.
What?
We saw in this past issue, we saw her actually trying to listen.
Well, yeah, after she heard it, and then she couldn't help but listen when you say...
No, you can close it off.
What about that thing with Rachel Summers?
That was funny. Exactly.
She actively tried to look into her head. How did you miss that? And as a matter of fact, Rachel did her best to the guy go, hold him. What the fuck? You know, and then, oh shit.
Bitch, hold the fuck up.
Exactly.
I'm just referring to the fact that Jean refers to the fact that sometimes she cannot help, like she doesn't want to do that. And I think that scene was also immensely comical, but because they're telling her don't do that in the series, and that, but she couldn't help when like somebody screamed something, like when she saw Wanda a couple issues ago, like Wanda was literally screaming the guilt of all the mutants' death on her. That's what I'm saying. She can't help but hear it. That's what I'm saying. And like she couldn't help but hear. Beast say that she was in love with her, and I like the fact that Logan was pissed. I just love Logan. Logan's just nothing but pissed in this series at the kids or something.
Yeah, because he's probably got a hard on for her too.
Probably
15-year-old Jean Grey.
Well, I mean, fucking, it was okay. Okay.
Why does everyone but Bobby have a thing for 60s Jean Grey?
Okay,
because she's a young redhead.
I want to ask y'all something. Did it feel a little creepy when Beast was admitting that he loves her right there? Was it a little creepy for y'all?
No, yeah. He admitted that he had a thing for her back then. Difference.
Yeah, but he says, I almost cried when I first saw her again. Now she is sitting here looking exactly like the girl I first fell in love with, and I never even got the chance. I got a little, I'm like, that's kind of creepy. I got a little, anything.
But see, you got to look at it. He's saying this in the context.
Isn't he with Abigail Brand now?
Yeah, he is, but still, it's like you have that love, your first love of your life. You never get some. There's always that one that gets away for some people.
So why is 3 out of the 4 original X-Men, you know, got it for Jean Grey? I don't get it. What is so great about her? I don't
Because she's a cute redhead.
She's like the girl next door. Simple. That's what it is.
No, she's not. Girl next door? Really? Come on now.
Young Jean Grey? Yes.
I would disagree, but okay.
At least in the whatever. So finally, Beast gets around like, how could you read my mind? And like I didn't. You were screaming, like your older self was screaming it, you know, which is what I was referring to. And he's like, I can't love you because you're in love with Scott Summers. And then the thing every dude wants to hear, I'm not in love with him. Which leads to a very, very nicely drawn kiss between the Beast, Hank McCoy, and Jean Grey, which is like, well, what the fuck does that mean for the X-Men going on forward? So, and of course, Wolverine, Cyclops, what is this going to mean for Cyclops going on? And I mean, I still love this issue. And the thing is, I don't know what the fuck the story is for this book. Like, it doesn't have a direction. It's just basically been about these kids who got sent to the, who got brought to the past, brought to the future, brought to the, whatever. Time, space, continuum is confusing. Brought to the future, and they've kind of been here, and...
God damn you, space, time, continuum.
They've sort of just been here and trying to manifest their powers and going like, what the hell is going on? But yet, each issue is still so wonderful and still so much fun, and the dialogue, just like Ben is true to himself, is just great at dialogue. And I love the ending and opening gags with, like, I just saw my teenage mom from an alternate future. That's... Or whatever, how it works. I don't know. And apparently she has the wedding invitation from her wedding, her future wedding. So, I just love this book. And I give it a 4 out of 5. It's just, it's like, it's an X-Men book that feels sort of that dramatic shit I need. It's like my soap operas. I need to have it every time it comes out.
He's got to have it.
I love my soap operas, man. I give it 4 out of 5. I cannot wait for Battle of the Atom next month.
Yeah, hopefully that'll clean up the no story thing going on here.
Well, yeah. The thing is, like, normally I would bitch about there's not a story, but the characters are written so well that I don't care that there's not an overall arching story. And maybe there is, and I'm not paying attention enough, but whatever. All right, yep. Let's go with something different. Johnny V with the Emerald City of Oz. Scotty Young, still wonderful. That wonderful, magnificent son of a bitch.
He just said he'd go last.
Did he?
It's in the text box.
Yeah, I'll go last.
Someone okay, B-Rat, Superior Foes of Spider-Man, a.k.a. the Hawkeye wannabe. Go ahead.
First of all, fuck you. Second of all, as an aside, I liked Logan's freak out about his motorcycle when he saw what they were doing to it, and it's Jeep, and he's just like, why is everyone stealing my stuff? That I liked. Now, on to Superior Foes of Spider-Man. I don't know if I reviewed the first issue. I don't think I did, but I'll give you a brief synopsis here. This book is essentially about the day-to-day of mundane and non-superpowered supervillains, basically. What we get is a glimpse at supervillains who are not good at being supervillains. In this particular case, we have the Sinister Six, or Sinister Five, as they come to realize, after one of their members gets arrested. And so they're going through pretty much the motions of just trying to be a supervillain group without really having the aspirations of being supervillains or any of the ability. Like, they're sitting around at the beginning of the book having a group meeting, and they're voting on whether or not the bathroom they share should stay unisex or if they should get a separate room for their one female member. And then, of course, they're talking about, well, you know, we can't be the Sinister Six if we have only five people. And this, that, and the other thing. And this guy, the Boomerang, he's trying to hold it together. And it's not really panning out. But what we've seen the last issue, and what we see in this issue, is that he's getting in deep with people, trying to make a play to become a bigger deal, but not always having the capacity to fall through on it. Like, his personal story in this issue is basically him dealing with, after he got out of jail, he's on parole, and his mob lawyer is trying to defend him because he owes a debt to someone. And one of the things they do in this book to try and entertain themselves is they go to this hoity-toity fancy restaurant that cooks all these expensive dishes and has all these expensive ingredients, and they plan to steal all the ingredients, but first they plan to sit down and eat a meal and make the guys cook for them and enjoy the meal in front of them, and then they're going to rip them off. And they're just kind of sitting around talking bullshit, and it's the most surreal, strangest experience because you wouldn't normally expect, like, you know, aside from the few superheroes who we see at personal lives, you don't learn much about the supervillains in their personal lives and stuff unless they make a point of drawing it out to a story. This goes out of its way to show you these characters are just losers. Absolutely and fully.
Losers! And
during their little restaurant holdup, they get a visit from the Punisher. And he fucking unloads on them. And the what?
With his pants up or down?
With his pants up.
Damn.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, the Beetle, the only member of the team who can fly or whatever, you know, zips right out of there. And then Speed Demon, he zips away, but then he realizes, oh my god, he forgot his doggy bag. And he runs back for it, and then he gets out of there again. And what we have is we have the Boomerang, who's drunk on this expensive champagne, come out trying to face the Punisher. And of course, Punisher gives him this stuff like, you know what the worst part of my job is? You know, this hearing these last words, you know, what do you got to say? Just tell me what the last words are. And the funniest thing I thought in this issue was just that he's like, okay, what are your last words before I kill you? And Boomerang goes, I don't want to die with a boomerang on my forehead. And he takes his mask off. And the guy's just like, yeah, that one's entirely new to me. And then, surprise, it's the Chameleon. It's not really the Punisher. Oh, well. Turns out the Chameleon is trying to rope the Boomerang in on this big heist he's working on, or trying to find this super valuable thing. And I don't know if any of y'all can fill me in on this, because I was actually a bit lost, so he's looking for the head of Silvio Silvermane.
Silvermane? Is that his name?
Yeah.
You've never heard of Silvermane before?
I know who Silvermane is. He's looking for the head of Silvio Silvermane.
Ah.
Like, his actual head?
Yeah, he had, if I remember correctly, a long time ago, he had actually been beheaded. And, I mean, he was, like, basically just a kind of undead cyborg at that point, but I think he ended up getting his head knocked off, you know, to finally shut everything down. But that was a while ago, from what I remember.
Yeah, I myself, not being the biggest Spider-Man aficionado, or especially now Silverman, was kind of lost by that. But that's not so much the point. The point here is that Boomerang's being jerked around by both sides of this gang conflict going on. He had dealt with Hammerhead last issue, trying to rope him in. He's got Chameleon now trying to get him to do something for him. And at the end of the day, Boomerang just goes back to this clubhouse and talks himself up, like, I faced down the Punisher and lived because nobody saw it was the Chameleon. They all booked it before he revealed himself. So right now he's got, oh, I survived the Punisher under my belt, you know. And he talks to himself and he's like, and I definitely said, you know what? You want to kill me? Put it right in my Boomerang because I'm not taking my mask off. And so it's interesting to see how this all unfolds, especially considering a strange ending. I'm asking you guys again, because there is another plot that I'm not so clear on. He was released from jail the last issue, and he's going to a parole hearing. And they decide to let him go, the Boomerang, that is. But they say, for the time being, you're going to have a new parole officer, a different parole officer. And his parole officer, as assigned to him, is Boomerang's former partner, the original Beetle, and the hero known as Mach 7, a.k.a. Abner Jenkins. Now, I'm not exactly sure what the beef is there. I don't know if he showed up during the initiative or what happened, but I've never heard of this guy. So that kind of threw me for a loop, too.
But wait a minute. Hold on. Wasn't Mach 7 basically the Beetle trying to be a good guy in Thunderbolts?
I think so, yes. Now he's a parole officer for New York State. I didn't read Thunderbolts. No, yeah.
Yeah, neither did I. I just kind of remember, you know, Beetle trying to go legit, or at least faking going legit or something like that.
Right. Well, apparently he's held it up because now he's the parole officer of his former partner. But I guess he's the parole officer of the Boomerang now.
Kick ass.
Yeah. But the thing about this book, and this issue was a step down a little bit, just my personal opinion, only because it drew upon a couple of plot threads that I wasn't so familiar with, and I was kind of lost there for a second or two. That being said, though, the way the plot's moving forward and the character development here of the Boomerang and his team is excellent. I really get a kick out of this stuff because it's, you know, Nick Spencer, first of all, gets nothing but gratitude from me for his past works, but I guess what I should be trying to point out here is that this isn't really a book about supervillains doing supervillainy things. It's about a loser trying to hold his loser team together while under pressure from much more powerful forces. And it's an interesting study in that character, I think. I mean, like, Iggy go ahead and says, you know, Hawkeye Blight or whatever, not Hawkeye, but you know what? Fuck Iggy. You know, don't listen to him. I dig this series. I dig the premise of it, and the writing is nothing but excellent. Granted, the plot, because I'm not sure if it's because it drew upon some older stuff, lost me for a second or two, but otherwise, I really had no major problems with it. I got a kick out of it. I'll give it a 3.5 out of 5. Bit of a step down from the last issue because I completely understood everything that happened, and in my opinion, last issue was better, but still, nothing really noticeably wrong with this issue. So, 3.5 out of 5.
All right, let's wrap it up with something off the beaten path with the wonderful Scotty Young, the wonderful Wizard of Oz, and City number 2. Genevieve,
yes,
take it away.
Sir.
Take it away, buddy.
Thank you. I don't know if you've been reading the Emerald City of Oz. Basically, I'll wrap up the first issue. It's about Dorothy getting back into Oz again, which if you've read the books, like there's like 9 Oz books. But in this one, Aunt Em and Uncle Henry end up going with her. And a lot's changed in Oz since she's been gone. But like kind of the crux of the story is about how Uncle Henry and Auntie Em respond to Oz. Like, it's very different from Dorothy. Like, they can't imagine that this world actually exists. Like, everything is just so topsy-turvy and that it's almost like they can't process what they're seeing. So this, while the first issue kind of set up, like, how they got in there, this issue is about Auntie Em and Uncle Henry going around Oz with Dorothy. And they see all kinds of crazy shit. And kind of like, if you know what the Oz books, it's very adult-themed. Like, for instance, there's one story in this book where they come across a paper doll village. And, you know, again, Uncle Henry and Aunt Em can't process that there are paper dolls that are alive and moving around. around in this paper world, and they're so small, and they're, like, freaking, like, gigantic, and there's, like, two rules, is that you can't laugh, and you can't sneeze or breathe heavily, like, just a gust of wind will, like, knock over everything and destroy it. And there's this one character that's with him. He's kind of like a hobo. He's the hobo of Oz, if you will. He sneezes, and the whole paper village just is demolished. Like, it just completely gets blown away. And you're just you're like, holy shit, this is like a kid's book. There's like a whole decimation of a village. But then you're like, kind of like, think like Annie M and Uncle Henry, like, well, they were just playing paper dolls. Like, they don't freak out. They're just like, well, that's what happens sometimes. You know? The freaking winds come through and your shit's destroyed. And they're, and you know, they don't take it serious like everyone else in Oz does. They're just kind of like, yeah, it happens. You know, you just gotta move on. And,
keep on trucking.
Yeah, keep on trucking. And that's kind of like what the spirit of this book is it's about them trying to kind of adapt to Oz. And while this is going on, the villain, who's the Gnome King, he, instead of the Wicked Witch, like you know in the regular Oz, this is the Gnome King. And they, in another Oz story, they kind of fucked the Gnome King over by stealing his magic belt. So he's going to invade Oz to get this belt back. But he can't find anyone in his army to be a general, so there's like no one in his army that is like, I want to do it. They're all just kind of like, whatever, we really don't want to fucking go to Oz, go fuck yourself. And then there's this one little fucking furry creature, he's like the smallest in the group, and he ends up wanting to lead them, and there's kind of like a funny back and forth between him and the Gnome King. And he's like, you know what, fuck it, I will go mess some shit up, and I don't care how big I am, what I have to do, I will get you your belt back. And so he becomes general.
It's go time, baby. It's go time.
So, you know, it's like very adult themed for like kids' book, which is what I love about it. You know, to me, there's just bad stories and good stories. You know, if they're for kids or for adults, whatever. I would highly, highly recommend Emerald City of Oz.
It's go time.
If you haven't read any of the past Oz books, it's its own story, so you don't have to like go back and read The Wizard of Oz to understand what's going on here. So you don't have to like read the whole series up until this point, so you can jump in and really enjoy it. And it, like Ben said, it's Scotty Young. You know, his art alone to me is worth the price of admission, and that's without the great story based on the Frank L. Baum books, which those are really great too. You guys should read those if you haven't. I will give this 4 out of 5. The only thing that I really, really didn't like about it is there was real no, beyond the paper doll village scene, there was really no, you know, sense of danger or threat. There was no threat. You know, a lot of times you need a threat in a story to make it intriguing. This did not have a threat. It was just kind of playing off themes and off characters, which is great. But the whole Gnome King situation really wasn't really propelled forward, so I'd dock it a little bit for that. But still, just an amazing story. Start off from issue 1, read this one, you'll be all caught up. So, yeah, 4 out of 5, definitely.
Well, I sentiment that in that everybody should at least check out one of the series for the Wonderful Wizard of Oz books. They're all, it's all Scotty Young, it's all Eric Schauer writing it. Wonderful, wonderful books. I can't recommend enough. They're great for all ages. If you just want a great story, yep. They're wonderful.
Adults can enjoy it. It's not, you know,
kids will love them.
Not dumbed down for kids, but kids will enjoy it along with you. Definitely.
Exactly. So, speaking of kids and nostalgia, we're going to talk about something nostalgia right now. In that, what was your favorite sort of Marvel thing that wasn't a comic book or a movie growing up, or something recently? B-Rye, you're my generation. You go first.
Well, outside of comic books proper, I would say the biggest thing that influenced me into getting me into Marvel Comics as a whole, I would have to say probably My clearest memory, my fondest memory, is playing the original Marvel Ultimate Alliance game.
That
in itself was a step above, because not only did it have a kick-ass storyline, I thought, but it had probably the broadest range of character selection I'd ever seen in a video game up to that point, outside of, like, you know, standard fighting games and stuff. You know, it was a game where you could choose a huge cast of characters, choose make a team of your own choosing, and then go play a preset a story that was just really excellent.
It was an original story, too, which is awesome. Fucking I know. Doom steals the Twilight Sword to steal Odin's power.
They did everything in that book. They did
you go to hell. Loki, you go. To, you go everywhere.
But you did everything in that story. And
you go. To China to fight the Mandarin. You go to Atlantis. You
fight Fin Fang Foom on the Helicarrier. Yes. How kick ass is that?
Yeah.
I mean,
you fight Galactus.
Absolutely, and it was just an amazing game for you know, just for what it was. It was a whole look at it was the entirety of the Marvel universe pretty much just right in front of you. And also, funnily enough, that was, I think, my first interaction with DLC when they released those 8 new characters you could choose from too, which added to
only on the Xbox. I don't think PlayStation got those.
I don't know. I mean,
because like you got like what Hulk, Hawkeye. No, not Hawkeye was on the PSP version.
Hawkeye, Cyclops, Nightcrawler, and
Hulk. I think Hulk was one. Yes, Magneto? Hulk. Was it no.
But no, there was 4 heroes and 4 villains, and the 4 villains were Magneto, Venom. Venom, and
Deadpool.
Sabretooth. Deadpool was already included.
In the PSP version, you could play as Hawkeye, who was already starting character, and Novar. Not Novar, but Genesis.
No, Hawkeye was in that game.
No. He wasn't in the PlayStation 3 version or the PS2 version that I had.
I'm talking I played Xbox.
Yeah, but on the PSP version, he was an unlockable character to begin with, and so was Moon Knight, and who else was on there? You get to play as Janice Vell, or Captain. You get to play as Captain Marvel, basically, and you got one of his costumes was Janice Vell.
Yeah, so basically, just the character selection was huge. It allowed you to mix and match teams. They even had like themes. If you chose the right setting of characters, you could have the classic Avengers, so you had classic Fantastic Four and X-Men and stuff, and you go through just, they really don't leave many stones unturned as far as both A, locations go, because even when you're not at like a location to fight someone, you're hanging out in Stark Tower, you're in the Sanctum Sanctorum, you're at Valhalla, you're on the moon in Adelan, and it's
that
and
final
also,
charge towards Doom's and Doom's base in
oh my
Castle
god,
Doom was awesome.
Doom's base is just fucking
it's an
insanity.
army of Doombots and Stark and Iron Man armors. It's
pretty yeah, cool. it was a, like when you just go into the hollowed out Stark Tower and all the Doom the Iron Man suits with like the Ultron or the Doombots.
Oh, you gotta fight them all. Fuck yeah. Also, replayability, because different things you did throughout the game caused different endings.
That's
caused you to
true.
See different endings.
It pulled a Mass Effect. It had repercussions at the end. Granted, it didn't pull over in the next game, which, by the way, the second game was a huge disappointment, kid.
So let down.
Huge disappointment. Huge letdown.
Yeah.
Oh, what? Whoa. Let's not go that far. What a huge disappointment.
It was a letdown, though. You can't deny that.
Oh, y'all are crazy.
It's a fun game, and the roster wasn't nearly as deep. The story is bland, and the ripping off of Civil War was just stupid. They should have done an original one or continued off what they had set up in the first one.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yes. The second story was a half-assed, cobbled-together piece of crap that had...
That took away
characters for different parts of the story, so it took away the entire concept of choosing the team you wanted to play with. And it was just a step down overall in that grand epic story that was you trying to reclaim, you know, Earth from Doom and trying to battle all these... Okay, you have Masters of Evil, right? Masters of Evil. What do? In the second you dick around fighting the other heroes, pretty much.
And
okay.
Then you fight like controlled nanobite versions of everybody else.
Oh god!
Y'all crazy.
All right, let's move on. No more negativity. For me, it was a combination of the '90s cartoons featuring both the X-Men and Spider-Man.
Hell yeah! That theme song? Are you kidding me?
Oh yeah! Fuck, it was our theme for like the first 100 episodes. And you know, that and just like that, that's what made me love the X-Men. But also it was Marvel vs. Capcom, Marvel vs. Capcom 2, Street Fighter versus X-Men, or I think it was Street Fighter versus X-Men, which I remember playing at the arcades. It was all of that. It was and also the one thing I will never forget, the one thing that introduced me like that was so cool that my dad brought home, it was a CD of X-Men. I don't remember exactly what it was, but we never had the full box art for it. It was just in its case, and we put it in. It was an interactive comic of Giant Size X-Men number one, in which basically, like, you put the CD in, you got to see clips from, like, the show, but it also, you got to read all of Giant Size X-Men number ones, and it was done by the voiceover by the guy who voiced Wolverine in the cartoon show. And if you click on the icon, like, there'd be certain icons on the screen, and it would show you clips of the show to show you who this character is that just appeared on the page. And it would do, like, little... and it would do, like, little special effects. And it was just... that was, like, the first time I'd ever... Like, I'd already been in the X-Men. That was, like, the first time I'd ever read an X-Men comic or seen an X-Men comic book. And it was Giant Size X-Men number one. And, you know... Like, so, like, it was just cool in that fact. And then, like, it would give you... There would be another page and give you all the bios of you know, Archangel and Forge and Beast, and you know, if and it's not all of them, because not like I don't think some of the characters should have been were on the show, but like some of them, like they would show clips of like their origin movie or their origins, you know, or like their like how they got their powers and stuff like that. So, like Brian, Ultimate Alliance, that's about it. That's about it for me.
Okay. Since y'all kind of went the typical route and did video games, I have to go. Well, two things, and one goes before all the video games. I think one of my favorite things, you know, Marvel oriented, that didn't involve a movie or a TV show or a comic book, was probably the Spider-Man web shooters I had as a kid, which was nothing more than a wrist-mounted suction cup, a suction disc, you know, arrow-firing thing. I had a lot of fun with that. That and, you know, when I was a kid, I also had the $2 freaking, you know, you bet utility belt, you know, with the cheap-ass, you know, hook thing that you bought, but... The Spider-Man web shooter, you know, you just put it around your wrist and just went on, and you just, you know, you're firing these suction tip arrows that didn't attach to shit, you know, but you're knocking stuff over and you're like, and of course, you know, when I was a kid, it was Spider-Man and his amazing friends. So yeah, I had this at that time, and I'm, there goes that photo. I had a lot of fun with that. I had a whole lot of fun with that. And, you know, years pass. I'm in my, let's say, late 20s, almost 30s. And when was the first Spider-Man movie? Was it 99?
It was 2002.
Okay, 2002. Excuse me. Yeah. 3 years later. And I think a little bit after that, they came up with the foam string web shooters, which was just nowhere near as fun. You know, I mean, yeah, it was like silly string, but it wasn't the same thing. You know, I mean, this thing, my thing had three arrows, and it, you know, fit on your wrist, and you put it back, and if you fucked it up, you broke the spring that fired it, you know, if you pulled it too hard. So, of course... That's exactly what I did in about 3 days after I got it. You know, just pulled it back. Oh, no! Ah! You know, it didn't work. But that was my thing for a while. As a matter of fact, I think my grandparents were probably happy that I broke it because I kept hitting shit with it. But as an adult, I honestly have to say that I wished... Because of this one thing, I really, really wish I could go back in time and de-age myself and then come back forward again so I could have had a pair of these. Hulk hands. I'm sorry. I like Hulk hands. Fucking Hulk hands.
Hulk hands got me through me working at Toys R Us. I was just like, Hulk hands all over the place. Hulk hands.
Hulk hands would just, you know what? There was just no way I could buy that for myself and not feel just like the ultimate fanboy, which I fight every damn day. But Hulk hands almost broke me. I swear to God. At one point, I was at some place where I could have gotten like a 75% off deal on some Hulk hands, and it was like, don't do it. Don't do it. I have the money. Don't do it. Don't do it. You know, Hulk hands.
That must have been hard for you to try and do it.
You know, weren't there two different versions of them? There was one that was, it was just Hulk hands, and there was another one that actually had like voice.
Yeah, it would make it sound like Hulk smash if you hit him.
Yeah, exactly. And oh my God, Hulk hands, you know, Hulk smash. Yeah, I still want a pair of Hulk hands.
You know, I never had like Marvel toys growing up, like stuff like that. But and this is so stupid, but I don't know, maybe Brian did this, but when as a kid, Wolverine is for us, for me, was the coolest thing ever. It was like fucking claws out of his hand, right? So what I would do is I would get straws and bend them at the top and tape them on my wrists.
Not bad.
I tried duct tape. Not duct tape, but I tried like mask tape, and I was like, so I actually got fucking duct tape to stick them on there, so it looked like the metal thing on the shell. I'm like, yes. So yeah, that's what I did.
You know what I did once, and I could admit this. I didn't use straws. What I did was I took the butter knife.
You used knives. In my
kitchen. Yeah.
That's how we did it back in the '80s and nineties.
Yeah, you know, I got some butter knives and. I was going to fuck up some bread. That's right.
That's great. You know what? I got a mirror taser on that. Like, toys for me when I was little were so fucked, like a huge influence. Like, being able to, like, have Cyclops and, like, Apocalypse getting a big fucking fist fight on my couch and just, like, act like they're fighting across the fucking universe, man. That was where it was at, was some Cyclops, Apocalypse action, Wolverine sitting over there just chilling out in the Barbie car because I used my sister's Barbie car to play with. He's over there getting...
You tell yours and I got mine.
He's getting some action over there, you know, with the Barbies, Wolverine is. And, you know, Cyclops is like, fuck it, I'm fighting Apocalypse. And, you know, it's just stupid shit like that when you're a kid for me, that... This huge influence for me growing up was the Marvel characters, just based on like the action figures. My parents, you know, I was lucky enough they'd get me all the shit I wanted. I'm not gonna go on too much longer, but what Taser said, just having those toys and just, you know, using your imagination, letting it go wild.
Yes.
Yeah. For sure.
Video games give you a good dose of storytelling that you don't have to, you know, really think too hard about. You just kind of get in with it. And you run with it, but like toys that you played with, you know, figures and
yep.
and that kind of stuff. That's the stuff where you really use your imagination and you really get swept away. And you're kind—I don't want to say in the zone because it sounds like you're in an X game or some shit. But you kind of get caught up in your own world at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I had a toy, and having to talk about it is what made me remember it right now. And it was a Hulk toy, as a matter of fact. When I was a kid, I think I was probably in the fourth or fifth grade. And this Hulk, I'd say board game came out, where it was Hulk on like this kind of wind-up pedestal rock. And what you had was a bunch of buildings that was nothing more than, you know, four pieces of plastic and then a roof that you put on top, and you place them around on this board, and you took the Hulk figure and you wound him up, you know, pulled him back and back and back and back. And when you placed him down in the center, what he did was he spun around like one, two, three, and then he would take off in any given direction. It was always random. And if he hit the science lab or the engineering or whatever the fuck, then I forgot, you were supposed to do something, but it was a game. And my father had gotten me this for Christmas, and I found I didn't give a rat's ass about the game. I just enjoyed taking and winding up Hulk and then just seeing him spin around and then just run into shit. So, you know, I would just take other things and then see how strong was Hulk. I would put portraits there, you know, a cup, you know, video cassette standing on its end, and just pow, and then, you know, shit would fall over and like, yeah, because Hulk smashed! And again, true to form, I broke that shit 3 weeks later.
I have a similar one to that. Maybe not with like a specific toy, but like I had a lot of toys growing up. I had a grandmother who still with us.
She loved herself some Iggy. Whee!
She spoiled me a lot. And I remember we went to the flea market once, and it was me and my younger brother. My older brother was with my other grandmother, and there was these two twin fighter jets. They weren't Quinjets or anything, but like there was these two fighter jets, and like I would use them for like crossing over with all of my favorite character toys that I had, and they all fit perfectly too. And then like the jet had like a retractable sort of like separate like thing that could come out of it. It's like a separate spacecraft that fit into it perfectly, and it lifted up and down and stuff like that.
You're not talking about the Raven from G.I. Joe, are you?
No, I don't remember what it was, because it was out of the packaging, and it was just like, I thought it was the Blackbird, but it was gray, and it was okay. And it was too small to be the Blackbird, but I called it the Blackbird. But yeah, that got me thinking of that. I'm trying to think of anything else, because I didn't really have Marvel toys. Like stuff like you had. I don't remember at least having most of my stuff was like Power Rangers, you know. Like,
all right, that's well. You know what? See, it's funny you should mention that. I gotta say this because we got to this point, and it's gonna piss me off if I don't bring it up. When I was a kid, and I mean kid, we're talking, you know, pre-10. You guys have heard of Battle of the Planets G-Force, you know, Gottman.
Yeah.
That came on, what was it, Channel 5 when I was a kid, and I was living in Staten Island. And, you know, as a kid, it's like, ooh, G-Force, look at it, they're burning and flying and they're flaming, Phoenix, and woo! So the leader was Mark, and Mark had that kick-ass boomerang thing that he threw out, and it had the beak, and it guys fell over, and then he caught it again, and he looked cool. And they didn't have any toys like that. You know, at least not that I ever saw when I was a kid. So in order to facilitate that, what I took was my father's toenail clippers. And I took the handle and I just put it out at an angle. And then I would just run around in the living room and then just pretend I was Mark and throw it in any given direction. Just hitting things for no reason, thinking I was, you know, Mark from G-Force, and I remember breaking it and then having to explain to my father, you know, exactly what had happened. And then the beating that came afterward for doing something so stupid. And you know what? I'd like to thank my father, because I didn't get a lot of toys as a kid, because, you know, I just didn't get a lot of toys as a kid, but I enjoyed the toys that I had. And I'd like to thank my dad for that.
So, B-Rai, you have anything to wrap this up?
No, that's about tap me out, man. I mean, I'm mostly hardcore comic books and stuff. I mean, real merchandise.
You had
and stuff.
No childhood.
Hey, I did. I had plenty of toys growing up, Marvel toys. Holy shit. I remember how I had this
name
one.
Name some.
I remember I had one. I had Spider-Man, and I had a Dr. Octopus. I had those two action figures.
Were they the McDonald's ones?
No, they were like full-on, posable. You know, I remember those two above all because I used them the most. I remember I think I got a play set with them once, and one day they just vanished, and I had no idea whatever happened to them.
He was Spidey Nat.
I don't know what happened, man. They took my childhood. They took it from me.
Yeah, most of my stuff from the 90s isn't Marvel, unfortunately. In terms of toys, there was a lot of like variations or flea markets, mainly Power Ranger stuff.
No, because you know what it was? It's just most of, like,
the like action now would be like everybody's indoctrinated with
right?
Marvel stuff.
Right? I started getting out of the toys right when, like, the Marvel Legends got big and all the
those
other
are, like, for
figures.
Collector's items.
I know, but they could still be used as toys for general purposes.
Oh yeah, I want some of them. Like some, I look at them from the shop whenever I go into the shop from time to time. I'm like, I would want to own one of these.
I mean, there's really no point to buying them if you're not going to use them at least once or twice. That's just crazy talk.
Like I have my like a little shelf next like above some of my trades with like all these 6-inch Marvel Universe toys that I have. And like for the most part they stay there. But like on a day like I'll come home from work and slay like I'll just pick up Hulk. I'm like, hey, Hulk smash.
I know, dude. I'm the same way. I still got figures every once in a while. Crack them out. Like, oh, I still have this.
But then, like the stores I go to stop carrying them, so I don't buy them anymore.
I know.
Or when I go to a store that has them, it's like, well, I have this one. I don't like this one. There's a Cable out there that I want, but I can't find it anymore. Yeah.
Like, I came up when it was, you know, action figures wasn't so much a thing anymore, but, like, video games and stuff and just other stuff that wasn't, like, toys and stuff. I mean, I still had them, mind you, but... Even before that, one of my earliest memories of Marvel memorabilia I had was an old Spider-Man game for Nintendo 64 that I would play over and over again. And I was
more into DC in terms of comic book stuff. I was more into DC stuff.
Well, that's how I got into comic books, but in terms of merchandise, I was always Marvel primarily. I never really strayed from that. I broke that once or twice. I mean, I got a few figures now, but those are mostly for display only. I don't use them.
Do you ever play the X-Men 90s arcade game? Side-scroller beat 'em up?
Oh my god.
Where you got to play, where like Wolverine's claws were a special ability.
Dude, like Blast from the Past. Are you kidding me?
It was called Rise of Apocalypse or something.
Oh my god. No, it wasn't called that. Dude, even still, remember... Remember when they had the X-Men fighting game in, like, the old arcades and stuff?
Yeah, X-Men versus Street Fighter, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was the precursor to Marvel.
No, the Marvel vs. Capcom. Yeah, that's...
No, there was a precursor to Marvel vs. Capcom. Game. There was a precursor to Marvel vs. Capcom called Street Fighter versus X-Men.
No, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about there was a legit, straight-up fighting game with mutants in it as opposed to fighting characters. It was just all X-Men. Okay. And you would just fight. I don't know if that was like a local thing or what, but I remember that, and that consumed so many quarters. Oh my god, jeez!
And you know, speaking of action figures, honorary. You know, I'd like to give a loving mention out there to Toy Fair, because you know, I collected Mego characters. You know, as a kid, I didn't have a lot, but and a lot of them were DC. But you know, I did have a Spider-Man, you know, Mego character, and Toy Fair, Twisted Mego Theater.
Oh my god!
Can we pour something out for Twisted Mego Theater?
Yeah, those are awesome. I read those and I shouldn't have.
I miss that so damn much. I don't even miss Toy Fair as much as I miss Twisted Mego Theater. You know, and you know, it's Love Child, Robot Chicken did a good job at bringing it over, and you know, animating it and putting it on TV. But there was just so much stuff that went on, and like. The whole gay Thor thing.
You remember the G.I. Joe where, like, Spider-Man told him, aim down, and he actually killed the guy, and like, what have I done?
Well, Spider-Man was a huge dick.
Yeah. No, I love that Tony Stark was always drunk. Like, always drunk. Captain America used... I'm remembering him so vividly. Captain America used steroids before he went to the war.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, God. I want to find... I know you can probably find those really cheaper for free, but I want to read those again. Those are fun. Taser, hook me up with that. I need to read those again.
I can probably find you on the Twisted Mega Theater by itself.
Yeah. I just want those. I don't care about Toy Fair. I just want the Twisted Toy Fair, the theater. Those were a lot of fun. I read those. My dad gave them to me. I'm like, are you? I'm like, oh, okay. There's alcohol, sex, and booze, and Spider-Man was a dick. Spider-Man was a huge fucking dick in that show.
You know what one killed me? There was something going on, and I forgot who it was, but there was, like, everybody was running away from, like, this one character who was just kind of horny. And it was mostly the Avengers. And you see Thor just kind of start slowing up and just kind of going, tee-hee-tee-hee. And I think Professor X is trying to roll himself away. And he went, oh, screw that. And he gets up and he picks up his chair and he starts running.
I need to read those again.
Oh, I miss Twisted Mega Theater, man. Damn.
I think we're going to call it, guys.
Yeah,
I think that was all a good right. show.
Hope you enjoyed the nostalgia factor, dudes. I'm sorry, I'm thinking of Twisted Mango Theater. Thank you, Taser. Next week, or this Wednesday, Infinity Number One drops. Will we talk about it? Well, we won't talk about it. What's going to happen? You're just going to have to tune in to find out. See y'all next week, folks.
I know we won't.